So this morning, we have two brief scripture passages. They are there in your written in your bulletins. And before I read the passages, there are a few things that I just want to highlight that have been bolded. And I bolded just these few things because they help to readjust a typical, few typical misunderstandings that some of us have developed over the years about the wise men and the star. And I mentioned as I was talking about the hymns that sometimes we get our theology in the hymns and sometimes the hymns gets it a little messed up. And if you take a look at this, you can see in the first bolded section, it addresses the time frame of when the wise men came. We look at the words and we can see that it occurred. The word is after. So after Jesus was born, not right at the time of birth, not really on that night. The interesting thing that we might notice is that it doesn't say how long after. And there are many theologians and biblical archaeologists who believe that the wise men may not have actually visited Jesus until a year or maybe even close to 2 years after he was born. And that will become important to remember a little bit later on. The next thing we notice is that the wise men are called that. They're called wise men. More accurately, magi, which we're going to be talking about. They're not called kings. And then third, we look at the words that say, "For we observed his star at its rising." Now, some of us may hear that and may think, it sounds a little different than what I grew up with. Earlier translations of this verse may have said, "We observed his star in the east." The wise men from the east, we observed his star in the east. And somebody I was talking to recently said, well, that just doesn't make any sense. If they were from the east and they observed it in the east, then they would just be going the opposite direction. What it really meant was it's a word that has double meaning. It means really that they were in the east, not the star was in the eastern direction. So they were in the east, but it also means at its rising, which is really makes more logical sense as well, and connects with a few things that we'll be talking about in a few minutes. So, and then you take a look at the second passage, and there's another instance of looking for something significant beyond or above or in the heavens. And we see that the point that Jesus made about that, it's a great point. And it's that, it's not about what you can observe with your eyes on the surface, like data, but looking beneath the surface, interpreting, finding the meaning of the events and really comprehending, getting the gist of it. And with that, we have our two readings. Where the first, it says, familiar words, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." And then the second passage, Matthew 16, says, Pharisees and Sadducees came and to test Jesus. They asked him to show them a sign from heaven. And he answered them, "When it is evening, you'll say it is fair weather, for the sky is red." That's the red sky at night, sailor's delight. "And in the morning, you say it'll be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening." Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. And he adds, "You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." As an aside, it reminds me of Albert Einstein when he said, "Not everything that can be counted counts." Right? And not everything that counts can be counted. Right? So, with that, may God bless our hearing and our understanding of this word of abundant life. Amen. So, understanding meaning and value and really what's going on beneath the surface. And I think of that as kind of like the difference between knowledge, between just, knowing a lot of information, being able to, spit that back, and wisdom, which is how you apply that to life. And, as Laura said, this is Epiphany Sunday, day when we focus on the wise men, who didn't just notice something unusual was going on, but then they took the next step to seek to discover, what does this mean? Is this saying anything to us? What do you do with it? And then to pursue that until the end. So while Epiphany on the surface is about this, you know, on the surface, stars, wise men, people, on another level, we might ask, hey, wait a minute, what is an epiphany, right? And we use that word from time to time. You know, I just had an epiphany. Great idea, right? Inspiration. And it's interesting how our language from the time of days of old really reveals and reflects this powerful connection that we have as humans with light and with the heavens, with things out there, with wisdom, with kind of pulling it all together. And that moment that happened, I had an epiphany. He saw the light. It came to me in a flash. He had a flash of brilliance. We talk about enlightenment with the word light right in the middle. You know, I think it must have been in the stars, we might say. It came to me, you know, that came to me right out of the blue. Right? You go, where's the blue? The sky up there, out there, beyond somewhere, and then pulling that connection. Where we might say, too, you know, I just connected the dots. And you think that before there was paper, where were the dots? Dots are in the sky, the stars, interpreting the signs. So looking beyond to understand more deeply, we're going to take a look a little bit more deeply into these scripture passages. And just to start, can you imagine, thinking about the people living in that time, just imagine what life would have been like when you looked up at night and there is no artificial light. There's no massive floodlights. It's dark. Have you ever had that experience? You know, maybe out in the middle of the ocean, somewhere out west. Just it's entirely different, right? And you can see the nuances. Imagine looking up at night like that, and you notice what's up there, and you think about times before radar, times before GPS, and people would use the stars for thousands of years up until very recently to navigate, to help them guide and find their way on the sea and on land. When you looked up then, what would you notice? And I think about today with all of our technology and sophistication, we're still fascinated with astronomical events, comets, eclipses, planets aligning, new planets being discovered. You know, it all still makes big news. Check out, has anybody seen the news about Betelgeuse in the last couple days? This gigantic star, right, that is as big as if you put it in our solar system, it would go from Sun to Jupiter. It's that massive. And they believe that it may be burning out and at, you know, possibly any time, 200,000 years, may turn into a supernova. And if that happens, and there's all sorts of recent news articles, then it says then it would shine a light that would be so much more brilliant than the moon. You'd be able to see it during the day even. And that's what spews gold, as we know. So we've become fascinated in a primal way. We think about the emotion that we have, you know, when you see in the summertime a beautiful, huge, low-hanging moon. A lot of times we don't just see it, but we feel something. And, of course, one of the most famous events along these lines is this appearance of a star, something, whatever that was long ago, that magi, wise men saw. And so we take a look a little bit deeper and we say, you know, who were these men? Star watchers. What do they see? And we realize, you know, there are people today whose jobs it is to look up in the sky and to notice. And if there's something that shifts or if there's something strange going on, they tell us, and they're called astrologers. We can get very whipped up, you know, when they tell us that where there might be a meteor heading in our path, you know, and then we find out, well, it's millions of miles away, but we still get whipped up. Why do we get whipped up? Because it reminds us that we're connected. We're connected to stuff out there, and our life depends on it. So who are the Magi? Well, first of all, they are the ones from whom we get the word. It's only one letter difference. Some people know it. Magi end. Put a C on the end of it. Yeah, magic. Right? And that means one having power. So why were they called magi? Well, they came from this area of Medes. Medes is a place in the Persian Empire, specifically the place now that is right in the sights of our news and our minds, Iran. That's where they were from. And specifically, they were of the Median tribe, and they resided in Raqqa, which is now Tehran. So if you want to think, for one thing, just about what, you know, what did the wise men maybe look like, that's what they looked like. And then here's the odd thing, is that we actually didn't have archaeological evidence about the Medes or the Magi until about the mid to late 1960s. So in our lifetime, we have discovered all sorts of things. And there's a lot that we know now. In our lifetimes, we now know that the Magi were Zoroastrian priests, teachers, and instructors to the Persian kings. So they weren't kings themselves, but they were instructors to the kings. They were skilled in philosophy, medicine, astrology. They were educated. They were wise. They had power because they had access and influence. And in those days, as is true with people today, many people today, people believe that a person's destiny might possibly be influenced in some way by stars and planets under which they were born. And so we talk about some astrological phenomenon and about Jesus. And the first question that we have here is, seems like a very simple one on the surface, when was Jesus born? And some of you know, about 4 BC. We go, 4 BC? That's a premature birth. But people didn't say BC back then. What's the date? Well, it's 3 BC, it's 4 BC. They didn't know. So it's not like Jesus was born in the wrong time. Our dating system of AD and BC didn't occur until Charlemagne, until the 9th century, right? And that's when it was applied, our dating system that we use. So you think about it and you go, wow, you know, in the year about 800, when they didn't, you know, wasn't so sophisticated, they got it pretty darn close. They got it, I did the math, about 0.5% off. That's great. So they thought it was zero, it was 4 BC. And around that time, the interesting thing is, there was a flurry of incredibly unusual stuff that was happening in the skies. And we know this precisely now, again, incredibly recently. Why? Computer models that can take all the planets and the orbits and the stars and the trajectories and everything and put them in, and you can plug in a date and a time and location. You can say, this is exactly what was going on. And first, to set the stage, kind of interesting, thing that got a lot of people's attention around 11 BC was Halley's Comet went by. Visible in the skies. As we know, it doesn't shoot across the skies like a shooting star, but it hangs out and it moves very, very slowly. And the Chinese recorded in their history that in 11 BC they were watching this day after day for 2 months, something that had never been there before and that just went away. They didn't know what it was, and they didn't know things about orbits and that it, you know, kind of came and had this repeating pattern about every 75 or 76 years. So it piqued curiosities, to say the least. You're looking up at the skies and something new shows up that's bright and brilliant. Even for us, for as sophisticated as we are, you know, we have huge interest and excitement with Halley's Comet and others, Hale-Bopp. So forth. We know what they are. We have satellites that go up and take close-up pictures. The next time Halley's Comet is going to come is going to be 2061. I'm going to be 103 years old. I may miss it. But just imagine back then, this thing hanging out for 2 months in the sky. You know, some people are looking up and going, what's going on here? You know? So curiosity is on the radar. And then 4 years later, 7 BC, there was another appearance of what looked like a new star, brilliant light in the sky. Now we know what that was. It was a brilliant conjunction of the planets of Saturn and Jupiter. They came together. And how unusual is that? We know that planets come together sometimes. Well, that particular conjunction in 7 BC won't occur again until the year 7541. I am definitely going to miss that. But attention getting, you know, as you're looking up in the sky, and that's a source of wonder and information and direction. People are looking up. And then in 3 BC, and we remember the Magi saw the stars, which appeared after Jesus' birth in 4 BC. Goes backwards, 4, 3, 2, 1. Astrologers just tell us that in 3 BC, there was the most rare conjunction of Venus and Jupiter that essentially created the appearance of a double-wide star right next to each other, broad, like an exclamation point in the sky saying, hey, you know, is something going on here that only happens once every 7,000 years? Something we should notice, and they did. And because of additional curiosity, something that they knew, Jupiter, that they were looking at, is called the king planet. The Romans named it Jupiter because their god Jupiter is their king of gods. And then the motion that it took as it tracked in 3 BC made a halo over Regulus, which is known as the king star. That occurred in the constellation of Leo, which is known as the King Constellation. So, people knowing this, relying on this, seeing these things, it's like, do you think that that would make them wonder? What's going on? Maybe there's a message in there somewhere. And Matthew's words come back to us, that after Jesus was born, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? And then if that weren't enough, something interesting happened between the years of 5 BC and 2 BC. Very focused time happened, and then it went. In the first day of the Egyptian month of Missouri, the megastar Sirius, that's so much larger than our sun, would rise at sunrise and shine with an amazing brilliance, and it did that every day during the month of Missouri for 4 years, during which time Jesus was born. The star is twice the size of our sun, 25 times brighter, something you would notice. Also, the word Missouri means the birth of a prince. And we think about the words, and we saw his star when it rose. So there's a lot of unusual astrological action going on. It's focused into a compact time period with a population of people who are looking up in the skies, noticing, wondering. And we think about how ancient astrologers and even just regular people would have looked up, would have wondered, what's going on with life? And if you look a little deeper, then you're going to ask the question, what does this have to do with my life? Does it make me live, think, act any differently? And all of this stuff just kind of zips by if you only read those few words and they saw a star, if you don't look any deeper. And you know, there's a lot that I cut. There's a lot more that could be said about this. But what about you? Because that's really the point that Jesus made. Is what about you? What signs are you noticing in your life? What do you need to pay attention to? What are your points of light that are there to give you guidance? Are there dots that you kind of sense, but maybe some dots that you want to be connecting? Light to be attending to, maybe in your relationships, Maybe with your health. You go, what are the signs of my life? Well, I'm 62, speaking personally. You know, what's going on? What's going to happen? How much do I have left? What am I going to do with that? Connecting the dots. How am I using my life? Maybe you want to develop your faith and understanding a little bit more to take a look a little more closely without and within. And we think about time. You know, when you think about the last year, a lot of people say, oh, it just went, you know, it went by in a flash, like a shooting star. What happened? What'd you do? I don't know, it's kind of hard to come up with some things. Think about the last 10, 20 years, how fast they went. What do you think the next 10, 20 years are going to be? What are you going to do? What are the signs of your life? Noticing the signs, connecting the dots, finding that meaning is what Jesus invites us to, is what God invites us to. An epiphany, in that way, is a gift. And the great gift is that epiphany didn't just happen just once. God bless you in your seeking and in your finding. Amen. Our loving God, as we step just 5 days now into our new year, we look forward with hope and with anticipation and with faith to the year to come and all the days and all the highs and all the challenges. And incorporating it all, we realize that we also might have some trepidation as well, both for the time to come and also as we reflect back on the year that's just passed. Highs and lows, blessings and challenges. In this state of beholding both the new year ahead and reflecting on the year past, we most importantly thank you for our life. That in spite of whatever we faced, challenges, surprises, even our routine days where we can't even remember what we had for breakfast, we made it through with your help, with your continuing gifts of life and breath and resources and support and healing and renewal. And that for as often as we turned to you for strength, wisdom, the ability to try one more time, we realized that we were in fact fed and led and equipped enough to have our daily bread to meet our challenges, whatever they were. And God, as we reached for you in the challenging times, hopefully we also reached for you in the good times as well, to help raise our level of gratitude, to help enrich even more our sense of sacredness for all of the good that we experienced as well. And for those who we were able to love, for the abundance of blessings that we were able to enjoy, simple and complex. For what is this life, God, if we cannot celebrate and invite you to be with us in the midst of the good times and in our challenges? And our challenges last year, personally and collectively, were many. Grieving the life of one we loved, enduring and persevering through hardships, illnesses, surgeries, anticipating others. We grieved and we wrestled far too often following mass shootings, making this last year the unbelievable record-breaking year of mass shootings in our country. And in the face of that, We pray for your continuing help. Please guide us, God. Please open our eyes. Please open our hearts. Please inform our minds and have us become welcome to your insights as we try to figure out how to deal with all of it. And as we look ahead, may we resolve to turn to you often and always as we face issues of responsible use of power and privilege. And blessing all in your world as we respond as you would have us, with sensitivity, compassion, insight, and justice for all. In this way, God, may we live and love and behave to make you proud. Amen.